The Survivor Specialist, Phil McKenna, are back, and today we are recapping episodes 19 through 21 of Australian Survivor Redemption. We are down to the final four, and we are going to be discussing all the moves this week. I didn't get to talk about last week's episodes and the craziness that went on there with Almost Rocks that ultimately wasn't Rocks, the Ben blindside, the Blanche blindside. I think this season, I've enjoyed this season quite a bit. I think this season really picked up at the right time, but now I do not care about the final four. And that is an issue. I feel like this season really was cooking big time. I liked it from the whole beginning. I know some people were a little bit mixed on it. I thought last week's string of three episodes were incredible, especially when the blood moon is going on at the same time. It's like,
especially
all right.
Especially when Simon leaves the game.
Yeah, Simon leaves because of the rocks. I mean, we get the AU versus US people all the time, and the AU people always are like, it's so much better. Well, last week I'll give you AU over US because of the blood moon and everything that happened in AU.
Yeah, the three boots of blood moon versus the three boots of AU were,
yeah, the AU was a little bit more earned. But you know, this season feels like a season of missed opportunities. The non-rock draws, I think we're silly. I think the people who ultimately flipped made mistakes. And I think it's evident now from Brooke and Keely. And I think especially with Brooke, the first time she flips on Simon, and she had immunity. So Jackson and Keely were the ones who were in danger. And then I think even more so, it's Keely at final six in this week's episodes where Keely made a huge mistake flipping on Brooke while she was wearing the immunity necklace. The only one who could have went home was Jackson from their alliance.
And let him go.
Let him go. He wants to go. Let him quit. Like, it's like, get him out of the game. You were talking about potentially doing an all women's alliance. Jackson's not a woman. So let him go. You know, I know that he's in your grouping. I'd rather have Brooke. And I understand Keely's probably worried, well, Brooke could win immunity. Then they're going to target me anyway. But once Brooke was gone, I felt like Keely was drawing dead. And I think tonight's or today's episode, whatever the hell it is, I think was so predictable. I saw every single moment of that episode coming of Keely going home if she didn't win immunity, because Sally's a terrible survivor player. So there's no way that Keely was going to survive this. And I think getting rid of Brooke was a huge mistake. Go to rocks, let Jackson take the chance, because if Jackson survives that, you have a 3-2 advantage. Plus, because you have the immunity necklace, you only have a 33% chance of somebody from your alliance going home in a rock draw, whereas the other side is a 66.7% chance.
Right.
You got to play the odds there, and you're not the one-third with a chance.
I can see it. I can see it a little bit with Brooke. I said it on the last podcast where Keely had a strong chance of going home at that tribal council, and that's someone who Brooke knows is working with her. So to keep Simon over Keely, I could see why Brooke did the move. But this move from Keely, where Brooke would have a 0% chance of going home, or she's going home already if Jackson flips, and then you lose Jackson, who is someone who's not your number one ally, I don't see the lose in this situation for Keely.
I don't either. And Jackson was late to the party. Like, Jackson's in the alliance, but I almost feel like something was missing of why he's so locked into the alliance. I mean, Jackson,
because he knows he can't go back on the other side.
I don't know. But it felt like Jackson made a flip. And I feel like in Australian Survivor, we see flips and then people flip back immediately all the time. So I'm a little confused as to why Jackson became so unbelievably locked in to where he is, to the point that nobody is ever going to let him do anything. I think that's crazy. And he's the one who's not flipping. He's just like, okay, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to do this. And so now, you know, we get down to this episode where Jackson and Keely are voting together and Keely just needs to flip one other person. Like, Jackson has been so committed, but at the same time, let him go. And if he does survive it, that's amazing. So I think both people, I understand. I agree with you. I think the Brooke one made more sense of why she ultimately flipped on Simon. But I think Brooke and Keely made huge mistakes, not just going to rocks. And that's not just results oriented. I had texted.
The Keely one for sure. Like,
yeah,
I wasn't sure about the Simon one because this could be okay, or that move to rocks could backfire. But this one, no doubt, wrong move.
No doubt. No doubt. And I think I texted you or John or whatever, right, as soon as it happened with the Brooke one, especially. I was like, why'd she do that? And then I saw Shannon Gus was talking about it. And I was really in agreement with Shannon over there on X. And then I watched this part play out and I'm like, nope, that was a mistake. And I opened up the podcast and it was only 5 minutes ago. So for some reason, Australian Survivor feels like it's like, oh, I feel like we've been talking for 15 minutes and it's only five. And then with US, I feel like we've been talking for five and it's an hour. Yeah. Last night, Pridium and I went for an hour 49, and that was meant to be an hour podcast. So my thing is, we're down to this final four. Laz is a non-entity. She doesn't exist. She's on our screens, but she's not on the season.
We got a backstory though this week.
Great. Awesome. Like, great. We've watched 21 episodes of Survivor and now I know who Laz is. Like, good for her. I'm happy to hear her story, whatever. Laz is not winning Survivor, and we know she can't. And Sally can't win either. Sally Zeta has been so incredibly small throughout the entire season. And Australian Survivor tends to over-edit their winners. Now, this is a season where they're not over-editing their winner because Jackson and Caleb also don't have that big of edits. However, when I'm looking at Jackson and Caleb, it's got to be one of them who win this season now. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people early on were like, Caleb, Caleb, Caleb. Yeah, Caleb wasn't getting an edit early on. So, yes, I'm looking at you and saying, where are you getting your spoilers? What are you looking for? What right. are you seeing? Like, you can easily Google probably Australian Survivor spoilers. And I'm sure even if the winner doesn't come up right away, something about people who make it deep comes up right away. So, like, please, I know I'm really harping on this for US, but, like, when we're covering Australian, I don't want spoilers for Australian Survivor either. And don't – I hate when people try to make it seem like it's their own idea. And I'm not saying that some of you don't have the idea, because it's, I run into this problem all the time with US, where if I get something right, I'm spoiled. If I get it wrong, I'm a moron. Like, it's one or the other in the comments, right? It's never, oh, good call, or oh, bad call. Like, Will broke down three photographs and predicted the entire blood moon. And people are like, well, Will must be spoiled on the blood moon. It's like, no, it's just sometimes you can predict what's going to happen because things are that predictable. The Caleb thing early on, it's like, there's no edit there. There was nothing happening for the vast majority of the pre-merge. And so that bothers me. And look, at this point, it's Jackson or Caleb. I'm still going with Jackson, but this is a very lackluster Final Four when you look at who we had prior to this Final Four. Losing Keely and Brooke at 5 and 6 is devastating. I know you're not a Simon fan, but losing Simon, Simon is devastating. Ben losing him is devastating. Like, there were a lot of really good, interesting game players. And right now, I think the problem with Jackson and Caleb, on top of Sally and Laz, is Jackson and Caleb also played pretty passive games. I know you can make the argument, well, they made this move, they made this move. But they always felt like they were in the passenger seat, or maybe even the back seat, to other people who are playing the game for them. Caleb's been talking about wanting to get the returning players out the whole time. He has his little celebratory, horrible confessional at the start of the one episode after Brooke goes. And it doesn't feel like it was Caleb's doing that all of this happened. It's kind of like the Aubrey Genevieve thing, where it was like, yeah, everybody just did it.
It's the mob mentality. And so at the final two or three or whatever it is, how is Caleb going to claim that as a move when it's the mob? Like, everybody voted for Brooke. He didn't get Keely to flip. If anything, the Brooke vote out is Keely's move because she was the one who flipped on it. So I just don't know what Caleb is going to pitch. And then Jackson, what is he going to pitch? Because, like, I was riding on Ben's game the entire time. When I voted him out, I moved on to the returnees and rided their game. Like, that's a game, but it's not like something wow and flashy. And especially if everybody in the game is talking about the jury wanting big moves or flashy gameplay, nobody here is doing that. I think Sally tried to with the half idol to be like, just kidding, I want friendship necklaces. And I'm like, you should have just played that for yourself. That would have been a better, like, big non-move.
That was the most nonsensical 30 seconds of my life. I don't know what she was thinking. It made absolutely no sense. I don't know how she thinks that was a move. I don't know how she thinks that was good gameplay. I don't get it at all. You're kind of making an ass out of Keely, who is beloved by the jury. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that you think that that's going to benefit. It kind of reminds me of Dom with Sebastian. You don't do that. Like, just don't do now. You sit at the end and everybody, instead of being like, oh, good job, they're going to sit there and go, how did you misread the room that much? We all love Keeley. We all thought Keeley was playing a great game. Now you want to make Keeley look like an ass. And yeah, people did think Sebastian was playing a great game back in Ghost Island. The edit was just atrocious. But the Jackson thing, that Ben move, because I know I didn't get to talk about the Ben move, they really focused on the fact that that was Jackson's move. And I think that if Jackson sits at the end, that's his game-winning move. Him versus Caleb would be close. I think him versus Laz, him versus Sally, blowout, lopside, doesn't matter. I think Caleb, same boat. He goes against Laz and kills her.
The final two?
I'm assuming it is, because I think there's three episodes next week. I think it's two episodes and then a reunion.
There are three episodes next week.
Yeah, so I have to assume that if there's three episodes next week, it has to be a final four vote, a final three vote, and then I guess they're doing the entire final two at the end. Like, I don't, are they voting somebody off the jury? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, but either way, if it's a final two, which I'm assuming it is at this point just because there's too much time left, Laz and Sally draw dead against either Caleb or Jackson. If Sally and Laz sit next to each other, Sally wins. But it's not because she played a great game. It's just like a lesser of two evils at that point. Laz's story. Laz hasn't been on the season. So it's like, yeah. I don't think Laz gets to the end, because I do think the jury likes Laz. Laz hasn't been on the season, so she's not going to get there. So it comes down to Caleb and Jackson. And I think Jackson has a game-winning move. Caleb doesn't have a game-winning move right now. Like, what is Caleb's massive defining move? And I know we don't have the chat going live here because this is a recording, and I'm sure that chat comments, whatever, are going to be like, Phil, you didn't see this, you didn't see that. But to me, it's just like,
nobody's gripping me as like, this is the winner. Even like in US Survivor, where the edit is a little bit more ambiguous and you get things like that, this, there still are a few people that are just like, I'm pulling for this person to win. I want them to win. They've been doing so much throughout the game. And at this final four, like, I don't necessarily want Jackson to win. I don't want Caleb to win. I don't want Sally to win. I don't want Laz to win.
I think that's what
one of them is.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so interesting about Survivor and why I always love the game. And last night, again, Peridium and I talked for an hour 49, and he was talking about doing a winner ranking come out in season 51. And we were discussing, I was like, well, what's your criteria for winners? And he started giving his criteria. And I was like, see, I like to look at which archetype, like who in their archetype plays that similar game. And then he started talking about, well, I've seen older people play better games than Bob and Gabler. And I was like, great, did they win? And the answer is no. And it's like, so they didn't play better games than Bob or Gabler. They played too aggressively. You have to play to what your archetype allows you to play as. And then last season, we have Miles and AJ going out, doing all this chaotic stuff. And Miles ends up being rewarded for it in the end. And now we're getting a little bit more of a passive game. Caleb and Jackson had to play a little bit more subdued on this season because they had some returning players. You had to let the returning players take a little bit more of the spotlight. If you didn't, you ended up like Ben and you're sitting over on the jury. And so I always think that ranking winners is arbitrary. It's so impossible. It just doesn't make sense. Because everybody who won the game did deserve to win the game, and they had to, like, they won. So how can you really fault them for their strategy? It might've been more of an uphill battle for some, more of an easy ride for others, but Jackson and Caleb, I don't really care about either of them like that much, especially not to level of Brooke or Keeley or Simon, or at least Ben for the couple episodes there. But I still would be happy with either of them winning, because I think that like they've played the game and they've played a game that makes sense. I don't know how I'd rank them up against Miles. I think Miles would have to get more credit because he did all these things, but Jackson was willing to go to rocks twice.
Yeah.
And he slipped on his closest ally. I mean, that's impressive.
I'm interested to hear whomever's final tribal council speech, because this game is so long. There's three episodes a week. You forget moves that people made, or maybe some under the radar things that happened, some manipulation, what have you. So it'll be interesting to hear those final tribal council speeches to have that memory jogged of, oh, that's right, they did do this. Or, you know, oh, that's what they meant by doing this move, or something like that.
Yeah, and I'm going to do jury roulette on Friday for the Patreon, where I just kind of go through and like talk about who's going to vote for who and who's going to do whatever based on everything. To me, it feels like Jackson's got the majority of votes, really, no matter what his pitch is at the end, if he's there, even against Kayla, because I think he has Brooke, he has Keely, he has Simon, he has Ben. I mean, Ben's exit saying, I want
Mark.
What was that?
He probably has Mark.
I don't know. The Mark one's interesting because Mark did get duped by Caleb. So I could see him almost giving Mark a respect vote. But it feels like the edit for Jackson has kind of been like quiet, quiet, quiet. But like, look at me. I'm still here. Quiet, quiet, quiet. But Ben getting voted out and making the speech of, I'm proud of Jackson. I want him to win. Go, buddy. That almost feels like the editor's trying to tell us, like, see, people do really like Jackson. People do want Jackson to win. So if Jackson were to get to the end, I think he's got at least four votes. And what's the jury? The jury's going to be nine?
I don't know math.
I can't look it up on my computer because my computer will crash. Hang on. let me check my Survivor Wiki. Yeah, because I think that Mark was 12.
Oh, I also have a confessional sheet, too.
Oh, you do have I was going to ask about that.
Yes, I do have it. We can talk confessionals as well. I love that we have been, that we're prepared in the middle of a podcast.
Okay. So it's actually, there's 11 people, 11. No way. So I think somebody might get voted off the jury. 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So yeah, there's 11. So if it's a final two, there'd be an 8-person jury. Oh, no, it'd be a 9-person jury. I'm an idiot. Oh, my God, I can't do math. Okay, so, yeah, I think it's a 9-person jury. So Jackson's going in with 4 votes, in my opinion, no matter who he's next to. So he needs to find one more.
He's been wearing Lottie's shirt.
True. I mean, I think he could get Cameron. I think he could get a lot of people's, which also, like, Cameron was the first vote of this entire thing. We didn't talk about the Cameron vote.
That's fine.
Cameron going there, like, and all of a sudden he's the loudmouth and stuff when he's barely talked on the entire season, like, at least to us as an audience. And now all of a sudden he's the loudmouth that nobody can stand, and he thinks he's going to win the game. And honestly, I thought his moves were good and he was positioning himself well to win. It's just really funny that Cameron goes out.
That's right. Lottie and Richard aren't part of the jury. They were pre-jury. They were part of the merch.
Yeah. So Jackson, I mean, right now, Caleb does have the most confessionals out of everybody left. He has 52. Jackson has 41. So if you're looking at it from that standpoint and just saying whoever has the most is going to win, then yeah, sure, Caleb would win. The thing with Caleb is 15 of those are in the last two episodes. Jackson only had 3. So maybe they're building up Caleb as, like, this is him on the home stretch to take this thing home. But at the same time, he was much more integral to the episode 20 and episode 21 boots. Whereas going into next week, episode 22 could be all about Jackson saying it's me against the world. And we saw the same thing with Fabio against Sash and against Chase. And Fabio ends up winning despite not having nearly as many confessionals as all of them. Plus, like, there's so many episodes where, and so many weeks where Caleb was just irrelevant. Again, week one, he had two confessionals, episode one. And then
7 no confessionals in episode. And Jackson has 8 no confessionals.
Yeah, and this is where it drove me nuts early. After week one, he had 2 confessionals through 3 episodes. Didn't say anything in episode 2, episode 3. People are like, Caleb's really high in the edgic. I'm like, is he really high in the edgic? And then he got 1-4-4, and then he went 0-0-1-0. Like, no, he wasn't high in the edgic. After episode 9, people were like, how do you not see this? It's like, because he wasn't on the screen for the entire week. And and Jackson, to me, has been relevant every week. Like, the worst week for him was the one right before the merge. And then he's kind of picked up. So look, this is wide open. Laz is now up to 19 confessionals, which is funny because she said nothing for the entire first half of the season. Sally sitting there at 26. But I just feel like Caleb, Jackson, it's even. And I think Caleb's probably a little bit better of TV, which is why we're hearing more from him. Jackson, though, like, I just look at that jury and I say he's got 4 already. Unless Caleb makes some epic move, which I think he's out of time to make. Nobody's going to care about Sally or Laz going home. Caleb needs to get Jackson out. But in my scenario, I'm talking about Jackson sitting next to Caleb.
Yeah. And Laz has 2 full weeks of 0 confessionals.
I mean, 19. Mark had 19 in week one, right?
Something like that.
Had to have.
Yeah. It was wild.
Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? and they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flour for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
So, we have IKEA reward this episode, where it's like a massive overnight stay with showers and then breakfast in the morning, which I thought this was the biggest reward like ever. It seems so overpowered.
Yeah, and who went on that reward again?
It was Keely, because Cameron wanted to keep Keely away from camp, and it was Sally.
Yeah. And Cameron won it and took them, and everybody thought he was going to take Laz.
Right.
And then he didn't take Laz. I mean, Cameron going home 6-1 was also really funny to me after all this, because it just seemed like he was so obviously shady, making the decision that he made.
Everyone also thought he was annoying too.
Yeah, it just felt like he was way too transparent and he wasn't able to like hide who he truly was. And that just rubbed almost the entire tribe the wrong way. Yeah, poor Cameron. And I don't really mean that, but poor Cameron.
What else happened this week?
Sorry, I'm looking at confessionals now. What did Cameron end
with? That's where Brooke found the half idol. So what are your thoughts on that the half idol where one half was at the reward. Oh no, Brooke found it last week. But I think, did we have Sally find it?
Because she found it at the family visit thing, the family videos.
Right. Did Sally find it this week? I think Sally found it this
week. Right at the beginning of this week or right at the end of last week, whatever it was. My feeling on the half idol is this. I like this twist. I think it's fun. I think we saw a lot of fun with it in Ko-Rong. I think we've seen a lot of fun with it throughout Survivor history. I think it was a little too late in the game to introduce it. This was being introduced at final eight, I believe, because Simon goes home at eight. So this is being introduced at final eight in a 24-person season. People have kind of already determined where they're at in terms of like with allies and stuff. I'd probably rather see this introduced maybe in like the, you know, right at the beginning of the merge where there's a lot more avenues to go and maybe you can build up relationships with people. By the time you get to final eight, Brooke finds that thing. What relationships is she really going to be able to build this late in the game that she hasn't already built or people haven't already decided they're against her? Now she has to go find the other half. There's no way for her to really bridge that gap. I think that earlier is better for this, not final eight. There's just not enough wiggle room.
There's no incentive for anybody to join the idols unless both people in the who find the halves are aligned.
Yeah,
there's
Keely
like no incentive for Sally or Caleb to join with Brooke or Keely on the idol.
And whereas if you do this at final 15, right, or 14, whenever it is that Richard and Lottie go home, if you do this at 15 or 14 or 12 or whatever, right when the merge hits, you have, there is incentive. Like Brooke can say, look, I found half an idol. I've heard that you have half the idol. We're not playing on the same side, but how can we make this work for each other? Like, what can we do to make this happen? And Australian Survivor is really good about that of, you know, you're on this side this week, you're on that side that week. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What can you do? And so for me, I think that this was just introduced too little too late. I'm okay with the twist. I think it's a cool idea. I've always enjoyed the half idols. I think it's something that should come back in US Survivor, but they've been slow to do it. And yeah, that's what I want. So that's my take on the whole thing. I think it's a good idea. I think ultimately just a little too little too late. There was no drama here. Like Sally getting up to do that, I was like, there's no way Sally's actually going to play this for Keely. This doesn't help her at all. Also, that would mean she voted for Keely and then played the idol to make it look like she saved Keely because it was going to be a 3-2. So what is the point of all of this? And it just felt like it was never a real thing. And I think that was the whole point too, is like Brooke was never getting the other half. There was no drama around whether or not Brooke was going to get the other half.
The only way she would get the other half is if Jackson or Keely had found it in the woods.
Yeah. Once it was found by Sally, the half idol storyline was just taking up space.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And then we had Keely on a 2-immunity streak run when I was shocked to see that because she hasn't been that strong in challenges at all. And then all of a sudden, bang, 2 immunities.
Yeah, I mean, and she was good. I mean, she just focused in. Very, very good at them. She was the only one. That final five challenge might have still been going on if she hadn't. It was the final. I'm calling it, it was final six, but it was the final five where you had to spell it. That would still be going on if she wasn't there because nobody could figure that out. And then she was super good at the other one too. I mean, I was pumped and I was rooting for Keely. Keely for sure was my favorite. So she did good. But I have to say, Keely as a newbie was impressive. She should play again. Brooke's game on this season, I know you're not really familiar with Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
Brooke's game on this season was incredible.
I mean, even not being familiar with Brooke, Brooke's game was incredible. And like, you don't normally feel things for returnees if you haven't watched any of their games prior to. It's just like they're another castaway. But like, I was so like, it was so amazing to watch her play this season and navigate the entire game and dealing with people flipping on or finding different alliances, maneuvering the whole, you know, double idol fake out situation that happened. Like she just like ran a masterclass.
I mean, the fact that she got the final six and this is like, you know, I know you're Parvati Stan, my bad, but like how people will talk about Parvati in the US version where it's, oh, she's always targeted. It's like, you can watch a lot of tribal councils where they might bring her name up, but it feels more for the storyline purposes because then eight people go and vote for somebody else. Like she wasn't actually the one being targeted there. Like Brooke was actually being targeted every time at these and was having to figure out, okay, what's my one little move I can do? What's my one little thing I can make happen? What's the little bit of drama we can cause? The idol, fake idol, Keely's fake idol was absolutely brilliant. She built up these relationships with the right people to be able to navigate through, won immunities when she needed to get all the way to final six. And honestly, go home because of a bad move by her ally. Like, Brooke and Keely both should have been sitting at final five. If Jackson's there, Brooke's sitting at final three. That's crazy how good of a game Brooke played. She was so much closer to winning than people are really going to give her credit for.
And I think the Brooke was in that position of, you need me, don't vote me out. Like, her allies need her, and they would need her continuing into those like last few votes as well. And it's like, that's also a scary situation to think about too, where you have to have Brooke at the final three, and you know the final three is going to be some crazy endurance challenge, and we're leaving Brooke in the game for that. Like, that's scary too.
Yeah. And I think for Keely, it's like, you're playing to win the game. And if you get, if Brooke doesn't have a necklace on, just like when Simon didn't have it on at eight, you're at final six. Brooke doesn't have a necklace on. Let's say you keep her. She's the favorite at five. She's the favorite at four. She's the favorite at three. Right. And the thing is, though, the people who can beat her are in your alliance. It's you or it's Jackson. She's not going to lose. I doubt Caleb's going to win. And I doubt Laz is going to win. And I doubt Sally is going to win. So you have to kind of weigh that out of, is it more important to get the numbers, or is it more important to get out the threat? And I think it was more important to get the numbers at six. I get you're getting close. This is what I always talk about with Ceree, especially on 50. You can't let Ceree get to final seven, because if she gets to final seven, she's just too dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're getting to final seven. Who knows what advantage will be in the game? Who knows what twist? Now it's six. Now it's five. At final four, she can't win immunity, but she can win a fire-making challenge. Yeah. But the thing is, you need to keep Ceree in the game at final seven. If Ceree's in your alliance, and without her, it's now 3-3, or you're down 4-2. You need to have Ceree in the game. That's where I felt Brooke was here, and why Keely made a mistake. Because I understand that Brooke is going to be a threat, but you've aligned yourself with a massive threat. That's the risk you have to take. You have to get through this vote, get to final five with Brooke, hope Jackson is there. If Jackson's not there, go win immunity. They're going to vote out Brooke. Even if you don't win immunity, if Brooke doesn't win immunity, they're voting out Brooke. Like, the only way that you go before Brooke in that situation is if Brooke wins immunity, which I know she'd be favored to do, but that's also assuming that the 33% chance thing that needs to happen happens, and Jackson goes home instead of either Sally or Laz, or whoever it was, Sally or Caleb at that point. I think with who the vote split was between, because I think it was between Brooke and Laz. But all of that is to say, like, she got too worried about, I can't beat Brooke at final two, and Brooke might beat me in immunities that sends me home, rather than, I just need to try to make this moment about getting the 3-2 advantage, because that 3-2 advantage is what's going to drive me to the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She gave up the numbers, she gave up her power.
Yep, yep. And it really did. It did her in right away, because there was no way Sally was going. Sally, for as bad as Sally currently played, she knows she can't beat Keely. Like, she knows that. There's no way she can beat Keely. That jury loves Keely, and Keely's played an unbelievably impressive game.
Yes. Yes. I'm voting for Keely still to win, even though she's not in the final.
Well, yeah. I mean, Keely, if Australian Survivor's on long enough, Keely will be back to play again. The thing is, will it be on long enough? Because that's life right now for us. We don't know.
Just keep bringing her back next season. Keely season. Survivor Keely.
Survivor Keely. I would watch Keely play immediately. I think Keely has the charisma, the charm, the gameplay to be somebody who's like a next level, next era, like tentpole character here. I think, like, you know, Keely could be the Genevieve of Australian Survivor. Hopefully with a better ending her second time around.
Yes.
Frustrating. So what if Keely had done the right thing? Does Brooke win this season?
I think it all hinges on immunity.
And do you think that Jackson had no chance against either people in his alliance, right? Like, in terms of if Jackson sits at the end against Brooke or Keeley, he's loses. Out. Actually, this worked out in the favor of Jackson.
He still might get a vote in, like, Ben, but I don't think he wins it.
Yeah. So it actually worked out in his favor that those two are gone, because now if he gets to the
this Jackson's smelling like roses now because the other two are gone. It was definitely in the right move of Jackson to flip for the Rock draw if that happened for Brooke. And on the revote, he actually votes Brooke out. That would have been the smart decision, but he seemed like he was locked and loaded to go three strong.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. I think that loyalty will be rewarded in the end if he sits there. Like, willing to go to rocks twice for your alliance, you're getting everybody in your alliance. Like, Simon, Brooke, Keeley have to vote for Jackson at the end. They have to. Mm-hmm. And so he's already got three, and we know he has Ben. So he has four. Again, he needs one more vote to win. Now, maybe he doesn't get that other vote. There is a chance that Caleb could get the other five votes. I don't think Sally or Laz can get the other five votes, but there is a chance that Caleb could get the other five votes. But I think we're probably in for a 5-4, 6-3 final. And this does kind of have a Chase Rice Fabio feel to it. Jackson does feel like he's falling into the Fabio thing. And Caleb's like the antithesis of Chase Rice in terms of like who they are as like people, it feels like, but very similar where it's like, well, I played a good game, but are you seeing the game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see Mark Blanche and like Laws and Sally voting for Caleb. And I think it would all hinge on Cameron.
Oh, God. Cameron being the deciding vote here. I mean, Laws is definitely voting for Caleb unless she gets really offended if Caleb votes her out. Sally, I feel like, probably votes for Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5-4. I mean, and that's what the Fabio... I mean, look, the comparison there to Nicaragua.
That was last season. With last season, we got all those the comments of, do we think it's going to be an all-male Final Three?
Yeah, wink, wink. I don't know anything, but do you think it's an all-male Final Three that I'm just going to keep bringing up over and over again because it's going to be an all-male Final Three? It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. So I don't know if excited is the right word, but I'm ready to find out who wins next week.
Yeah, I am ready too. Hang on 1 second. Yeah, I'm ready to see who's going to end up pulling it out, but I do, it's a two horse race. And I think the worst part about the finale is if Caleb or Jackson go out at four, the episode's over. And I think that's the bummer of it. Or the season's over, because that's episode 22. Then what am I watching episode 23 for? Right? Like, it's so obvious what's going to happen. And then if they're both in final three, great. My question is, and maybe I'm misunderstanding how the jury feels about these people. If you're Jackson or you're Caleb, how do you take the other one to final two?
You don't.
Exactly.
So it's got to be just one of them. Someone's going to be pulling a Tony where it's like, all right, woo, take me.
Like, unless I'm really, like, unless the only way I could see it going that way is, let's say Sally goes out at four. And then at three, it's Laz, Caleb, Jackson, and Jackson wins. He might feel like Laz has more friends on the jury than Caleb, which could be true because we're not seeing the edit from Laz. And if she doesn't make it to the end, they don't need to show the edit. But that doesn't mean that she doesn't still have friends. I mean, Ricard said he would have voted for Heather, as Pridium reminded me last night. So it's like that could still be the case, and it could just be the edit doing a disservice here. So that's the way I would see it. Caleb, though, I feel like would take Laz because tonight he had the
confessional. Yeah, he said it.
I would win, or I would be happy to have her win.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I think Sally also takes Laws.
I think Sally takes Laws. But that goes back to the point of that would mean that at final four, either Jackson or Caleb win. I just don't see Sally and Laws being the final two.
Yeah. But I think Laws has a 2 out of 4 chance for sure getting to two. And then I think Jackson will take anybody. So she has like a 2.5.
Yeah, I think Jackson versus Laws. If Jackson wins final three, like let's say it's Jackson, Laws, and Caleb, and he takes Caleb over Laws and loses, people would be like, what an idiot. This guy, like, why would you do that? You should have taken Laws. But I think that's the edit, disservicing the decision, because I think Laws has a very good chance of winning this game if her edit was better. Like, if you were just,
social game is impeccable.
Yeah, if you're just watching Survivor, like if you're on the island, Laws can win. Same thing as Wigglesworth, right? Wigglesworth could win. She's not on the show, but she could win. And I think that's where Laws is falling in. So as an audience, we'll be confused and say, well, that makes no sense. But the players out there all know Laws was a legitimate threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Yeah, it's been a good season. I'm going to be disappointed probably in the end, although a Caleb versus Jackson 5-4, where we're looking at a 4-4 vote, waiting to see who that final vote's going to be for. That'll be exciting.
Yeah. But
I feel like, and based on what people have said, I'm going to assume it's Caleb at this point, even though I think it's Jackson, because I'm assuming a lot of people are just, you know, going spoiled.com, you know, whatever. But I feel like that there's a legitimate, that's the best case scenario. And that's what I hope happens now with Caleb and Brooke both being out before finale week.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, all right. Anything else you want to cover on this episode? Or are we good?
I think we're good.
Good. All right, cool. So we got 3 episodes left, all going to be happening next week. I'm very happy with how they did this season with like only one non-elimination episode. Maybe we have another one this week coming up, but only one is amazing. I love that. Good job. So that's a lot of fun. I think we're going to have final four in episode 22. I think episode 23 is going to be final three and the final tribal council. And then it's a reunion for episode 24. That's what I think is going to happen. That's what I hope is going to happen. And that would be like a perfectly timed season. I'm all about that. So good job to Australian Survivor this season. I've enjoyed it. Make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel. When we put these out as videos, instead of putting them out as lives, our numbers tend to be worse. So please like the videos to help us get into the algorithm a little bit better. If you're listening over on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any of that, make sure you leave us a 5-star review if you can. I'll be doing Jury Roulette on Friday for the patrons. So patreon.com/thespecialist if you want to hear that. And then I might be stopping Australian Survivor coverage for a little while here until another season comes out. I was doing it every other Friday, but maybe I'll do another one at the end of April. And then I think I'm going to be cutting it come May because I don't know what I'm going to talk about. And honestly, I just don't know these seasons well enough to
you'll need a like wrap up AU Patreon. Like, was this good? Did this work?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll do that on the 24th, and then it'll be a little quiet until another season comes out or until we get some news or something like that, unless I can figure something out. I don't know. I get competitive with myself, and then I try to put something out anyway, but as McKenna knows. Anyway, that's what we got. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Who do you think is going to win the season? Only let us know if you don't actually know who's going to win the season. But who do you think is going to win the season? I think it's been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see how it's going to play out.
Yes.
Bye, everybody.